The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Well, we've got a terrific show lined up for you. A lot of great guests coming along. A lot of big stories to talk about as well. Hope you're doing good out there. Summertime, folks getting out and about and living their lives. So nice. A couple of days ago, I was in Nashville, and it was so nice to see thousands and thousands of our fellow citizens out there having a good time, living their life mask-free. And I hope that is the way it is in your neighborhood. I have a question for you, and we'll be taking some of your calls on this throughout the program today. President Biden ramping up his first international tour. The survey question on our Facebook live stream, was this a complete and utter disaster, or was this pretty much what you expected of the President of the United States? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to be efforting this audio for you. Just a few moments ago, Joe Biden told an audience, a Swiss audience, that the United States yields their rights to the government. Let me say that again. Joe Biden told an audience in Switzerland that Americans yield their rights to the government. I'm just going to be speaking on behalf of this radio program, but we don't yield our rights to anybody except Almighty God, who gave them to us. Unbelievable, this guy. I don't know. And again, we've talked, and yesterday we had some conversations about Joe Biden's mental capacity and whether or not he is capable mentally of being president of these great United States. So I don't know if this is part of the dementia or if this is what he truly believes or if this is what his handlers are telling him to say. And by his handlers, I suspect it's either Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, or Barack Hussein Obama. That is the unholy trinity, I believe, pulling the strings behind the scenes of the Biden administration. So we're going to be talking in just a few moments with Dr. Ronnie Jackson, a member of Congress, and he is sending a letter calling out and calling for investigations into Joe Biden's health. And that is a very, very disturbing development here, that now you have a member of Congress saying, we need to look into this. Something is not right here with the President of the United States. Our toll-free telephone number, by the way, 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstarnes.com, and all sorts of great information for you there. Yesterday, Governor Ron DeSantis, who, quite frankly, if President Trump is not running in 2024, is the de facto front runner now, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announcing that they are going to send law enforcement personnel to Texas and Arizona, since the federal government cannot stand up and do their job and secure our border. The state of Florida says, you know what? We're going to stand alongside Arizona. We're going to stand alongside the Lone Star State. Take a listen.
There was a letter that was recently sent by the governors of Texas and Arizona seeking mutual aid, which we do all the time in inches of emergency. These states have sent Florida support when we've responded to emergencies here in our state, and they wanted support so that they could do what the federal government is either unwilling or unable to do, secure the border and protect the people, not just of their states, but of the entire country because of the nationwide impact that has. And so today, we're here to announce that the state of Florida is answering the call. Florida is going to support Texas and Arizona. We believe that securing the southern border is important for our country, but specifically, we believe it'll benefit the people of Florida to be able to get this under control. And so where the federal government has failed, the states are stepping up and doing our best to fill the void.
All I can tell you is God bless Florida. And Governor DeSantis is explaining, and he's demonstrating, illustrating to the rest of the country, this is how you respond when the federal government will not do its job. And there are not many responsibilities the federal government has, but one of them is to protect the sovereign borders of these great United States. And if they are not going to do that, then the states are going to have to step up and intervene. And that's why you see the state of Texas announcing yesterday, Governor Greg Abbott says, you know what, we're going to build the wall. We are going to continue what President Trump started. They're even asking people for donations. Now, I have a problem with that. The donations we're making for the border wall are called taxes. We pay them every single week in our paychecks. So there's no reason for the American citizen to have to fork over more money. But again, this goes back to the main issue. The federal government is turning a blind eye to what's happening on our border. So thank goodness for Governor Ron DeSantis, a man who has a backbone of steel, a man who is not afraid of the mainstream media, a man who is not afraid of the Democrats. He does what he knows to be true and right. And I know the good people of Texas and Arizona are going to be incredibly grateful for any help they can get. Because, ladies and gentlemen, what we are facing at our border is an all-out invasion. These people aim to take back territory that they once owned. That's ultimately what's going on here. When you've got 10, 20, 30 million people from south of the border living north of the border, that's a problem. That is an occupying force. That is an occupying army. And they are literally sucking us dry. They are sucking us dry of our resources. And we've heard this time and time again from people who live along the border states. And they say, Todd, we can't afford it. We cannot take care of these people. Law enforcement overwhelmed. Schools overwhelmed. Healthcare overwhelmed. And every single one of those people being taken care of with your tax dollars. We had Senator Bill Hagerty on this program yesterday, and he delivered some jaw-dropping news that not only was Joe Biden flying illegal aliens into the state of Tennessee in the dark of night without the permission of the governor, but they were also bringing them in by the busload. And I said yesterday on the program, I'll say it again today, if it's happening in Tennessee, I guarantee you it's happening in your state as well. And why are they doing this? Why is the Biden administration, you think about this for a moment, why do you think the Biden administration is dumping all of these illegals in red states? You notice it's not happening in New York City. It's not happening in Los Angeles. Not happening in Berkeley or San Francisco. They are dumping the illegals in red states. Why do you think that is? Do you think it could possibly have anything to do with fixing elections? Do you think it could have anything to do with, again, changing the face of America? Tucker Carlson getting a lot of blowback over the past couple of days, but I believe he's onto something here. That the Democrats want a new group of people they can control. And I think they've realized, at least with the 1 4-year term of President Donald Trump, that the Democrats don't have a lock on the black vote in America anymore. That a number of black Americans woke up and said, hey, wait a second. We've been voting Democrat for decades, And they haven't done anything for us. As a matter of fact, our lot in life has gotten worse with the Democrats. And all of a sudden, Donald Trump comes around. And what was the campaign promise he made to Black Americans? What do you guys have to lose? I mean, really, what do you have to lose? And so Trump picked up a lot of Black votes in 2016 and a record number of Black votes in 2020. And why was that? Because unlike Barack Hussein Obama, Donald Trump actually delivered on the promises he made to the Black community. And again, I don't like segregating folks here when we talk about these, when we have these conversations. But the reality of it is this. Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian American Americans, white Americans, we all want the same thing. We are more united than the mainstream media will let you believe. We are. We want to be safe in our communities. What's happening in Atlanta, Georgia right now in Buckhead, one of the most affluent areas of that city, and they're under siege. And why is that? Because the mayor has handcuffed the police department. And now Buckhead residents said, you know what, we're sick of this. We are going to secede from the city of Atlanta. That's what we've done. And that's what they're doing. They are attempting to secede from the city of Atlanta. And folks, if you do live in one of these major cities where crime is off the charts, you've got to take matters into your own hands, just like Ron DeSantis announced. If the government's not going to help, you've got to take matters into your own hands. And that's what they're doing, sending law enforcement support to the state of Texas and Arizona. And I'm very anxious to hear from a lot of our listeners in North Georgia, the Gainesville, Georgia, now really becoming a bedroom community of Atlanta. And that's because people are literally escaping out of Atlanta. The crime is unreal. The same thing here in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, when I was growing up, we lived across the state line, directly across the state line, in a little town called South Haven, Mississippi. I think maybe there were 3,000 people, a Rexall drugstore, and a Big Star, and a Stop and Go. For you folks listening to us in New Jersey, that's the southern equivalent of a Wawa. But now that area of Mississippi, what, almost 200,000 people live there now? Why is that? People have abandoned the cities. They're sick of the crime. They're sick of the progressive politics, and they're going somewhere else. So I'm anxious to hear from you folks about this. A bunch of topics to start off the show with. Here's our number again, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free number. The live show blog, Avery working diligently, posting stories today. ToddStearns.com. We'll be right back.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stearns.
Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I want to talk to you about a very serious issue facing our country, court packing. It's the tool of left-wing authoritarians. Hugo Chavez packed Venezuela's Supreme Court with his socialist cronies and paved the way for his tyrannical regime. But now Joe Biden and America's socialist radicals want to pack our Supreme Court with four new liberal justices. Court packing isn't some policy idea to improve the courts. It's a coup. A coup to take away your constitutional freedoms and turn America into a socialist country. That's why First Liberty Institute, the largest legal organization in the nation dedicated to defending religious liberty in America, is doing something about it. First Liberty recently launched SupremeCoup.com to serve as a one-stop shop in the fight against court packing and to help patriots like you learn the truth about what's happening in our courts. But more importantly, there's a big take action button that you can click to do your part to stop the Supreme Court coup. If you want to defend our God-given freedoms and stop the left's court packing scheme, head over to SupremeCoup.com/Stearns. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I believe we do have this audio now from Joe Biden saying that American citizens, you guys, yield your rights to the government. Take a listen.
We don't derive our rights from the government. We possess them because we're born, period. And we yield them to a government. We yield them to a government.
No. That's not what we do, Mr. President. We don't yield anything to the government. And there's a longer version of this. We're going to get this audio for you a little bit later on, because I want to provide the setup to what he just said here. What's troubling is he was reading this off of a teleprompter. So this was not some sort of an off-the-cuff remark. This was something the president actually thought out, or whoever is filling his mind with these things wrote this down for him to say. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Clarksville, Georgia, Mike listening to us on WDUN wants to weigh in on this Buckhead, Georgia situation. Mike, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Good to talk to you. I love your show. Basically, from what we're hearing is that after Keisha Lance Bottoms, the mayor, said she wasn't going to run for re-election, the governor stepped in and activated law enforcement to even get game wardens to have to go down there and work law enforcement. And it's been a lot of talk for a long time. I used to live in Alpharetta in Fulton County, but I moved up here to the mountains. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, even the north part of Fulton County wants to secede from Fulton County because just of the all the taxes basically come from the northern part, and it's just getting bad. Plus, my brother, he's a police officer in Louisville, Kentucky, and he's going through the same thing up there with just people retiring en masse from the police department, shortages and stuff. But, I mean, that's what they wanted, wasn't it? You know, defund the police, so.
That you, Mike, this is what happens. You're absolutely right. When they said defund the police, they defunded the police. Now all you know what is breaking loose. And I will tell you, you know, I have stayed whenever I'm in Atlanta. I typically stay in the Buckhead area around the Lenox Square Mall, which is, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's one of the more affluent malls in the area. So we're not talking about a rundown part of town. We're talking about thugs. That we're talking about predators, really, Mike, that are coming up from Atlanta, and they're preying on these very well-off individuals who are out there just trying to do some shopping.
On the news where people have been out jogging, been attacked. You know, the Lenox Mall is like an affluent, you know, mall. They got like a Gucci store and all that stuff in there. I think there was a security guard that was killed or shot down there by two 15-year-olds a couple days ago, and it's just, I mean, people are just going to have to step up and just take, you know, take their communities back. I mean, that's the only
thing. And good for that. As a matter of fact, we're going to have Bill White on the show. He is the chairman and CEO of this effort to secede from the city of Atlanta. He was on Fox News Channel last night, and we're honored to have him on the show later today. And we're going to hear more about this. But, Mike, as the guy said, you know, you've got to – we've got to be able to protect ourselves. We've got to be able to protect our businesses and our families. And if we cannot do that, well, what's the point? And so I say good for the folks in Buckhead, and good for you for getting out of Dodge. Mike, thank you for listening to us. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Maria, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM, Memphis, Tennessee. Maria, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I was always telling somebody else, like, I'm really appreciative for everything y'all do. And me being a Hispanic conservative, I just wish my Latino community, more of us would step up and talk about our, you know, our political views, especially Memphis. Here in Memphis, crime is, like, huge, high. My family and I are actually trying to move out of the Memphis area just because of the crime rates. And sometimes I think, if more people were to vote red, us as red, like, we would be able to go out there and fix this crime rate, bring it down. Because Memphis used to be a great area. When I used to go to school in Cordova in 2012, it was great. Like, crime wasn't as bad as it is now. And me being, like, a Latino, like, I just want the best for my community. and what's best for the Memphis community overall.
And you know what, Maria? That's the thing. We all want that. Black, white, Hispanic, it doesn't matter. But the mainstream media and our politicians, they're dividing us. And they don't, and they, because they understand if we all wake up one day and decide like what you just said, Maria, their jobs are in jeopardy. So I want to say thank you for listening to KWAM. Invite your friends, your family to listen. Because, folks, I believe, Maria, I believe we can all, if we work together, we can fix this problem. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By now, you've all heard me talking about MyPillow and my good friend, Mike Lindell. What an incredible product he has created for America. Those MyPillows never go flat. You can wash them, you can dry them as many times as you want, and they still maintain their shape. And you want to know why? Made in the good old U.S. of A. And now, for a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. The regular price, $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. All MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go right now to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. You are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Set. Or you can call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. You know, folks, I got to tell you, I love Maria from KWAM Radio. She just called in, Hispanic American. She says she loves America just like everybody else, but by golly, she's sick and tired of the crime and these Democrats who refuse to do anything about it. Now, here's some audio from Bill White, who is chairman of the Buckhead City effort to secede from Atlanta. Let's take a listen.
This is a crisis of management. I want to say that we love the Atlanta Police Department. They are fantastic police professionals. They just want to be able to do their job, but there's a complete lack of leadership on behalf of the mayor, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, and she has basically put the handcuffs on the police, so they're unable to do their job. She made an announcement that shoplifters would not be prosecuted. She made a policy where you cannot chase someone who's shooting out of a car at pedestrians, as what happened on Far Road here in Buckhead on January 3rd. And these folks were shooting pedestrians right in front of two cops, and the cops said they just can't chase that car. Now, you tell me that isn't crazy. That is something that needs to be changed. So the great people of Buckhead, who contribute much to the city of Atlanta, who love Atlanta, they feel that they have been exploited now for way too long. So what we are doing is we are starting a new city. It's going to be Buckhead City. We filed for divorce. We have two bills in the Georgia legislature. We'll put this on the ballot on November of 2022, and we will take our city back. We will start a new police department, and they will be allowed to do their jobs.
Good for you, sir. And I suspect many other people around the country are feeling the same way, especially if you are a suburb of one of these large cities and you are getting the shaft. Unbelievable. So good for you, sir. We're going to have him on the program a little bit later on today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Very honored to have with us from the great state of Texas, Congressman Ronnie Jackson, Dr. Ronnie Jackson. Congressman, good to have you back with us today.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, Congressman, yesterday we had Senator Bill Hagerty on the program, and we asked him about concerns he might have regarding Joe Biden's performance overseas. And he actually brought up this issue of the mental capabilities and, honestly, the stamina of our commander-in-chief. What about you, sir? Do you share those concerns?
Oh, absolutely I do. You know, I've been concerned about it since long before he was elected. When he was running as a candidate, we saw lots of indications that something's not right. And, you know, I say this, you know, not as his physician. You know, I've not examined him personally, and I'm not responsible for him medically and never have been. But I'll tell you that, you know, we have 40 years of tape with Joe Biden. We can look back and see. He's always made gaffes, you know, here or there. But this is something very different. This is, you know, repeated times where he can't remember exactly what's going on, where he's at, what he's doing. He looks confused. You know, I don't know if you noticed now or not, but when he's not speaking, he just kind of stares off into space. He was overseas this last week, and I'm just concerned about the damage he's doing to our country just with the impression that he's setting. I mean, he's not inspiring confidence in the American people here, but he's also have to worry about, you know, what message this is sending, his kind of cognitive, you know, lack of prowess is sending to our adversaries. You know, I think that's not good that they would think that our commander in chief and our head of state is not really in the game. And I think that's the message that it's sending. He looks very confused, very frail, very weak, and he just does not inspire confidence.
There was a bizarre moment yesterday at the end of a press conference where he just exploded in anger and rage at the CNN reporter. It seemed to come out of nowhere. Is that of concern?
Absolutely. He's done that before, you know, and I think part of that is you'll see that in old when they – and I've made the point before that this is not directly related to his age. We all know people that are in their, you know, that are 100 years old, that are sharp as a tack, and we know people that are in their early 70s, you know, that are having a lot of difficulties, and everybody's on that spectrum in a different place. And I'm not diagnosing him with Alzheimer's or anything else, but I'm saying he has some definite cognitive decline that I think is age related, and it's getting worse as time goes on. But yes, that's concerning. I think that what happens a lot of times when someone that's having the issues that he's having, when they get confused or they get a little bit lost, they try to compensate for it. They get frustrated, they strike out, and I think that's what's going on. I think it's just another indicator that he's not really up to speed on what's going on, or what what's his surroundings and what's happening. I think it's all very concerning, and I'm submitting a letter to the White House, probably later today, to the president and to his primary care physician, and I'm just asking him. I'm saying, hey, it's time to get his physical exam done. And that should include cognitive testing. And I'm doing that, Todd, because if you remember, whenever I was President Trump's personal physician, the far left, the liberal press, the mainstream media, and all the Democrats, they were just up in arms. They were demanding that President Trump have a physical exam and have some cognitive testing, and that they be made available to them. And they made the case that, you know, this should be something that every president has to submit themselves to from now on, you know, to reassure the public before they even get into office, that they're capable of being the commander in chief and the head of state. So we did. We did the physical. I did the cognitive testing. President Trump did extremely well on it. And I'm sending this letter to the Biden administration and to President Biden later today, just saying I agree with them. This is something we need. We need this confidence in our commander in chief. Please submit to your physical exam and get the cognitive testing done and make those results available to us immediately.
And again, folks, this is the breaking news of this conversation is that Congressman Jackson, Dr. Jackson, sending a letter later today calling on the president to take a cognitive test. Congressman, you've made it very clear that you are not the president's personal doctor. But based on the things that you have shared with us, the things that you have observed as a medical professional, what would you say would possibly be the issue here? Are we talking about dementia, senility, Alzheimer's?
Yeah, something similar to that. Like I said, I'm not going to label him with an exact diagnosis, but definitely some cognitive issues related to age. You know, and I gave President Trump what we call the MoCA, the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, and it's a very simple test to screen for cognitive impairment. It's a screening test, and it's specifically set up to screen folks that have that type of dementia, people that have had strokes and things of that nature. And I don't know if anybody, if your listeners remember or not, but it's common knowledge. It's public knowledge that President Biden had aneurysms previously, and earlier in his career, he had a couple of aneurysms, one that resulted in a hemorrhagic stroke. And so we may be seeing, you know, the the long-term effects of that. Anytime, you know, your brain is starved of oxygen, whether it's the hemorrhagic stroke or the traditional thrombotic stroke or whatever, there's a part of your brain that's not getting blood, that's not getting oxygen. And then there's always a part of that that doesn't recover. Some, most of it eventually recovers when the blood supply is restored, but some of it doesn't. And so that part of your brain kind of serves as your reserve to some extent. And I don't think he has that reserve anymore. Now that he's getting older, he needs to be relying on that reserve, and I don't think that reserve's there anymore. So I think that his medical history indicates that there could be something like that going on. And the only way we're going to know is if we get a good objective physical exam and some cognitive testing done on it, and it's made available to the public.
Congressman, do you believe, based on everything you have said right now, do you believe that Joe Biden is capable of making the decisions that are being made, of writing these speeches and making these policy pronouncements? Or do you believe that there are others, perhaps being led by a committee, that are ultimately making these decisions and Biden is just the guy out in front of the cameras?
Absolutely. I believe he's just the guy in front of the cameras. That's my personal opinion. And, you know, I mean, it's disturbing. It's also disturbing that he can't answer questions from the press. They will not put him in front of the press unless they hand select who the questions are coming from. And, you know, they're given the questions ahead of time. You can tell because he's got notes. He calls on reporters in order. He references his notes after they ask him the question, an indicator that they had some indication of what the question was going to be, and they prepared him with some talking points. So this is not the way it's supposed to work. President Trump didn't do that. President Trump walked up into the middle of an entirely hostile press and took questions from anybody and everybody. He would stand up there for hours and take questions from anybody who wanted to ask him a question. And that's what we should expect from our president. And we're not getting that. We're getting a very sheltered individual who's being directed by his staff. And he even mentions frequently, like, you know, if he deviates from what they tell him to do, he's going to get in trouble. Get in trouble with who? You're the president of the United States. They work for you. You don't work for them. It's your staff. But, you know, it's another indicator that even he admits to us that, you know, he's not really in control of what he's doing.
Do you believe he's going to be able to finish out his term?
I do not. I don't think so. I've said that from the very beginning. You know, 4 years is a long time if you're already having this kind of difficulty early in your tenure. And so I don't think that, you know, I mean, you know, hey, he's the president of the United States. So, you know, I hope he does well. And I hope this, whatever this is, I hope it gets cleared up. And I hope that he can represent our country and he can take care of it. Because, you know, we depend on him. We need somebody that's competent doing that job. So if he can do that, I certainly hope that he ends up being able to do that. But right now, I do not have the level of confidence that tells me that he's going to be able to make it 4 years. I just think it's going to progressively get worse and worse, and I don't think it'll get much worse before even the Democrats will be insisting that that we do something different. And I've said all along, you know, you remember back at the end of the Trump administration, Nancy Pelosi was pushing through Congress right after I got here. She was trying to push through a bill that said that we should put together a panel that could serve, that could institute the 25th Amendment and remove the president from being president. And that wasn't done for President Trump. People were all up in arms like, well, I can't believe they're coming after President Trump on this front again. Now they're calling for the 25th Amendment. I knew at the time that there was not enough time in the administration left for them to even do anything with that with regards to President Trump. That was put in place because I think they know that sometime in the next 4 years, they may have to exercise that with regards to President Biden. And they want to be able to go back and say, well, look, that was something that we did during the Trump administration. Unfortunately, now we're going to have to use this for President Biden. I really think that was the purpose of it.
Fascinating information here, Congressman, and certainly a lot for us to unravel as we move forward. But I think we're all in agreement. Everybody sees the same thing. And as you said, it's not to make fun of the man. This is part of the aging process, and he simply does not have control over that. So, Congressman, we look forward to seeing your letter later today, and we appreciate you coming on the program and breaking that news to the nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate you.
All right, Congressman Ronnie Jackson, Dr. Ronnie Jackson from Texas, and that is the breaking news. The congressman coming on the program to announce that he is sending a letter to the White House calling for President Biden to take a cognitive test. This after that appalling performance overseas where the president was simply all over the place. And you heard Congressman Jackson, who, by the way, is a medical doctor and was President Trump's doctor at the White House. You heard him say that these are signs of things like dementia, senility, and Alzheimer's. So, again, he's not going to give a diagnosis, and we respect that. But I'm curious, do you see these things when you watch the president? Maybe you have an aging parent or a loved one, and you've seen similar things in them. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And, you know, I was watching President Trump last night doing the interview with Hannity, and President Trump said, look, we want Biden to succeed. We don't want him to fail. We want him to represent our country. And even President Trump is saying, look, I know people in their 80s and their 90s, and they are more with it. They are more together. They have their faculties about them, if you will. And they're in a lot better shape than Joe Biden is. And again, when it comes to Biden, there's a lot to make fun of this guy. But one of the things we will not do on this program is make fun of an elderly man who has no control over the aging process. That's just not right. And we're not going to do that. But we are going to call out his policies and these gaffes, which are outrageous. The idea that Americans are going to yield to the government? Yeah, not this American, sir. Not this American. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Kathy, listening to us on WDUN in the beautiful state of Georgia. Kathy, what's on your mind today?
I just want to say how thrilled I am with the Todd Stern Show. I listen to it religiously every day. I have actually gotten one of my sons to start listening to it. He tells the truth. He doesn't apologize for anything, but he doesn't badmouth people. He's compassionate, and he just had Congressman Jackson on, and I was very impressed with the whole dialogue, and that's exactly what I get every time I turn on the show.
Well, Kathy, you are so kind to say that, and we really appreciate that. You know, Congressman Jackson, I appreciate his tone and demeanor. He wasn't mocking the president. He was really speaking as a doctor, I think, more so than a congressman.
Exactly.
And we need to hear more of that.
Yes, we do. And you won't hear it on a lot of the other talk shows. He gets people on this show that tell the truth, and they don't badmouth people. And that's what I want to hear.
Well, Kathy,
and I love the way he delivers.
Well, thank you. You know, Kathy, you are talking to Todd Starnes. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Good. I just wanted to make sure. Hey, Kathy.
I just want to make sure I was, too, because I have a bad time. I'm 68, and sometimes I make gaffes, too. But at least I'm not trying to leave the country, for God's sake.
Kathy, you sound great. I kind of figured you were in your 40s. You're 68, huh?
Yeah, I'm 68 years old.
Wow, you sound great. Hey, Kathy,
Thank you very much. We're
going to be coming to Gainesville. We're bringing the Biscuit Book Tour. We're going to be coming in late July. And you listen to WDUN. They're going to give you all the details. Yeah. But I would love to meet you in person.
I would love to be there, and I would be honored to meet you in person. And keep up the good work. I have a lot of faith in you, and it's not unfounded. You deliver every time.
Well, you're kind to say that, Kathy. And please tell your son hello, and just keep inviting folks to tune in. That's how it goes. So, Kathy and Georgia and folks, we are working, even as we speak, on the Biscuit Book Tour. And we got a lot of places to go and not a lot of time to go.
Did I sense a little flirtation there, Todd?
I'm not going to. Well, Grace.
she was giving you all those compliments.
Mm-hmm. She
you
was.
You were like, I'd like to meet you in person. I'm like, oh.
Well, I mean, not that way.
I'm just messing with you.
I won't reject
like
a hug.
Just like we're trying to do matchmaker for, you know, Avery mm-hmm. and Caleb.
Well, I won't reject a hug.
Yeah.
Okay. And Avery knows this. I mean, this is his. These are his people. This is Gainesville, Georgia.
Very kind.
It's
people.
A hugging community.
Yes.
And, you know, side hugs, of course. You know, you got to do.
Oh, yeah, you got to do the side hug.
You can't do the full frontal.
No.
Can't do a full frontal hug.
You'll get into trouble.
Yeah, that's not a good thing at all.
No.
So, Grace, we were planning the tour. We've started planning the tour, and we're trying to work our way to the Billy Graham book signing, which is coming up in July 31st.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be at the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte. So I think we're actually starting the tour in Gainesville.
Ooh.
And then working our way over. So you folks in Hendersonville, North Carolina, hint, hint, get ready. We may be coming to your neighborhood.
I've been getting calls already asking when you're coming to people's towns, and I'm like, just listen, he will announce
it. It's going to be exciting.
I don't even know when.
I don't even know when.
Oh, okay.
But that's we're really better. Excited about this, and folks are loving the book. We've got some people out there doing early reviews, and it looks like folks are really having a good time with it.
Not surprised.
Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. You just have five more days to pre-order a signed edition. If you would like to do so, go to our website during the news break. Nothing big is happening in the country right now, so don't listen to the news. Go to my website, toddstearns.com. Click on that store button and to get yourself a couple of copies. I will personally autograph them for you. Hey, folks, hang tight. We've got hour two coming up next.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us today. Congressman Mo Brooks on the way. That ought to be a humdinger of a conversation. He is fired up, folks, and I am too. The breaking news of the hour just happened on this radio program a few moments ago. Former President Trump's doctor, now Congressman Ronnie Jackson, announcing that he is sending a letter to the White House this afternoon expressing grave concerns about the cognitive state of the President of these United States. And we have a copy of the letter, which we are not allowed to share. But I can tell you that if you were listening to the interview, he referenced a lot of the concerns he had. Specifically, and most recently, this bizarre, outburst that he directed at a CNN reporter yesterday afternoon. Let's go back and listen to that outburst.
Why are you so confident he'll change his behavior, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm not confident he'll change his behavior. What do you do all the time?
So,
when did I say I was confident?
You said in the next 6 months.
I said,
So, Dr. Jackson, and for the sake of this conversation, he is a congressman, but he is also a very well-respected medical doctor. And we will refer to him as Dr. Jackson for the sake of this conversation. But Dr. Jackson says that it is very clear that the president's cognitive skills are in decline. There is an unusual amount of forgetfulness on just basic, ordinary tasks. He's forgetting people's names in his cabinet. You might remember that he forgot the name of the Pentagon. He forgot the name of the Defense Department. He forgot the name of the Defense Secretary in one fell swoop. And Dr. Jackson on our program in the last hour said these kinds of impairments and this sort of lack of stamina is very consistent with diseases like Alzheimer's, like MS, a stroke. And we know that the president previously suffered from aneurysms, and that's been very well documented. So my question to you, the listeners of the radio program, are you seeing these things in the president, or do you think this is just Joe being crazy Uncle Joe and just the sudden outburst of anger and forgetting people's names and sniffing the hair of little children and caressing them? Maybe that's just who Joe is. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the great state of Arkansas. Doug on the line. All right, Doug, you heard Congressman Jackson. What say you?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Todd.
Glad to do it.
Well, I just want to call my wife. She sits with this elderly couple at their home, and they're in their low 80s. The woman, she just has a hard time getting around. She's sharp as a tack, but the husband has dementia, Alzheimer's, and it is crazy. I can go over there, you know, and sit and talk with him, and some days, you know, he'll know who I am, and we can talk about stuff, and other days, it's just like he'll be staring off into space, or he'll be kind of mumbling something, or starting to talk and go off somewhere else, and it's crazy. My wife, she don't keep up with politics like I do, but I can be watching Biden on TV, and she'll be like, you know, that reminds me of the man she took care of, and she said, it's actually sad.
You know, it is sad, Doug. I think it's elder abuse. Clearly the Democrats see the same thing we see. Clearly his family sees it, and yet they continue to put this man out there. They force this man to run for the White House, and I want to know who he's going to get in trouble with. That's what I want to know, Doug. He always says, well, if I say something off the script, I'm going to get in trouble. They're going to yell at me. I want to know who those people are.
Absolutely. I've heard that several times, and I would like to know the same. But who is these people he's going to get in trouble with?
You just had these horrible visions of him just, you know, being yanked off the stage, and then he disappears for an extended amount of time. Maybe they lock him in a room and give him cottage cheese or something. But it's just a horrible thing.
It is terrible.
It is terrible.
It is terrible. I pray that he can run this country, but it's not looking like it's going to be good for him.
No, and I'm telling you, Kamala Harris is not qualified, and she does have her mental faculties.
Absolutely not.
So all that to say, the Republicans, I don't think they can screw it up in 2024. Sometimes they find a way to do that, but things are looking pretty good for the Republicans. Not looking good for the country right now, though, and we're just going to have to hang in there until we can reclaim the House of Representatives and maybe the U.S. Senate and do something about this. Doug, appreciate the call, and thank you for that insight. So Doug there from Arkansas said his wife works with the elderly, and she sees the same things that she works with. She sees that in President Biden. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So the Internal Revenue Service, up to no good. I hate those people. I just do. I hate them with a passion. They audited during the Obama administration. Grace Baker, I got audited. For the first time in my life, I got audited.
Ooh.
When I was working at Fox News Channel, back when it was conservative,
And
I got audited like 2 or 3 years in a row. And so I was talking to some of the executives about this, and I'm like, is there anything we can do? They said, get in line. So Obama weaponized the Internal Revenue Service, Lois Lerner, and they went after conservatives. They went after pro-life groups. They actually ordered a church in Wyoming to turn over their membership rolls.
What in the world?
So they could, I don't know what they were going to do with that.
Weird.
They demanded to know the contents of the prayers of a pro-life ministry.
What in the world?
And probably most egregious of all, they audited the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
What?
Barack Obama. This did not get a lot of attention.
Of course it did.
But we wrote about it a lot in our column. They audited, Barack Obama audited Billy Graham, America's pastor.
Oh, my gosh. It was
disgusting.
How pitiful is that?
Horrible. All that to say that when President Trump was, when he was back when he was campaigning, he was talking about the deep state, you know, the swamp. This is what he was talking
about.
Sure. Because Barack Obama literally weaponized agencies within the federal government to go after Tea Party groups, to go after conservatives and their political enemies.
That are not supposed to be political at all.
Exactly. And it took me, I mean, I had to go and hire an attorney, had to hire an accountant. It cost me thousands of dollars.
No.
And you know what? Even though you're proven, you know, I don't know what, innocent or you don't owe taxes or whatever, you don't get that money back.
That's
terrible. It's horrible. And they know
that's
and they want to punish you. But you know what? I don't care. We didn't change what we said. We didn't slow down. We just kept on going. Had to eat at the Burger King a couple of times, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Don't get the chicken sandwich.
Had to downsize from the, you know, Ryan Steakhouse.
Oh.
Got to love that buffet. So the IRS is at it again, ladies and gentlemen. The First Liberty Institute, good friends over there, the attorneys, religious liberty folks, they sent me a note. Turns out that a religious group called Christians Engaged is under fire from the IRS. And when I explain to you why they are under fire, it is going to blow your mind. Blow your mind, America. Blow your mind. Christians Engaged is a nonprofit organization, and their only ministry is to educate and empower Christians to pray for our nation, to pray for our elected officials, to vote, and to be civically engaged. That sounds to me like a pretty noble cause. So they applied for 501c3 status because they're a nonprofit. But the Internal Revenue Service rejected their application, and here's the reason why. According to, this is a direct quote from the Internal Revenue Service. Buckle up. If you're driving, just pull off to the side of the road. You're going to swerve and hit somebody. According to the Internal Revenue Service, the reason why Christians Engaged cannot be a nonprofit organization is because, quote, Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party. Let me say that again. According to the Internal Revenue Service, they have investigated, and their investigators have discovered, have determined that when it comes to the Republican Party platform and the Republican Party candidates, they typically align with the teachings of the Bible. Therefore, the Bible is political, and because it's political, the Christian organization cannot be involved in politics, and therefore, they cannot be a nonprofit organization. That's the Biden Internal Revenue Service, Lois Lerner Jr. So First Liberty Institute has gotten involved. They're sending an appeal letter to the IRS, and we'll see how all of this goes. But by and large, they don't want the Christian groups doing anything because of their beliefs on marriage and biblical justice. Now, I have a question, and I know this may seem to be odd, but if the IRS is saying that the Republican Party aligns with the teachings of Almighty God, who do the Democrat Party's beliefs line up with? Can we say Satan? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Our website, toddstarns.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right, let's go to the phones. Boston, Connor on the line. Hey, Connor, what's going on?
Hey, my good friend Todd. I'll tell you, Newsmax is phenomenal. I haven't watched Fox, honestly, since you gave them the heave-ho, but it is just so refreshing to have a network that focuses on conservative values. So it's just amazing. Make the switch, folks.
Well, it's just nice that they actually hire real conservatives and not fake conservatives.
Exactly. Not ones that just play conservatives on TV.
Well said.
Scott, I'll tell you right now, I have a lot of concerns about our economy and the way it's, the way the Biden administration is focusing on growing businesses and even the gas prices right now. I mean, the gas prices are insanely high for the average person trying to get to work. I mean, how are they supposed to do that when they're spending $55 for a full tank of gas? I mean, I was telling Grace this online. I mean, full transparency, I don't drive gas. I mean, I have an alternative fuel. But again, for the person who is driving to work, I mean, they're spending about a good portion of their paycheck in gasoline costs. I mean, that's just insane. Where is the administration? Where are their policies to handle these types of things? I mean, do they understand basic economics?
Look, it's a great question. You know, Trump was talking about this last night. He said that he would not be surprised if gas prices go up as much as $6-$7 a gallon. You think, well, that's just, there's no way. But, I mean, look, to your point, look at where we are now, and those numbers are only getting worse.
And I'm just, exactly, Todd, and I'm just saying, when we had President Trump in office, gas prices were at historic lows. I mean, we had somebody who understood how to grow the economy. And quite frankly, I've said this before, I won't speak ill about a sitting president, but quite frankly, I don't think this administration understands how to grow the economy or the basic backbones or fundamentals on what it's going to take to grow our economy to where it was before. It's very concerning.
Well, it is concerning. And Connor, I think that and I hope that people understand that elections do have consequences and that we do have a chance to at least soften the blow somewhat by taking control of the House of Representatives, maybe even the U.S. Senate come 2022. But it's going to be a rough road. It is no doubt about it, Connor. It's going to be a rough road.
It is, Todd. And you know what? We just have to hang in there. I mean, obviously we have God on our side, and, you know, we just have to hang in there, be true to our American values, and, you know, we'll be on the positive end of this sooner rather than later. And also, one other thing, just while I have you, I'm having my car right now, two copies of Our Daily Biscuit, and I cannot wait to read this phenomenal new book.
Connor, you are very kind. Thank you for that. You are the two copies purchased in the Boston area, so now we know who that is. I think it's going to translate well north of the Mason-Dixon line, Connor, so I'm hoping. But if you have any questions about, you know, what is a mater, just shoot me a message. We'll help you out there.
Exactly. We'll do, Todd.
All right. Thanks a lot, Connor. Good hearing from you. Connor from Boston. He is fighting the good fight right there along with all those youngsters from Harvard. Connor, our favorite millennial. And he said that he's already purchased two copies of the book. And Grace Baker, people are already wondering, you know, why I don't see it in the stores yet. That's because it's not there yet.
Yes. It'll
be in
quite time for that.
It'll be in stores on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we've got, but if you want a copy, you'll be able to buy one Sunday at First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas.
There you go.
So all of our Texas listeners, we are going to be there, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm speaking Sunday at First Baptist Church with Dr. Robert Jeffers, and we're doing a book signing immediately after the service.
And see, Connor Smart, he bought one for himself and one for a friend.
Yes, I like that.
I was
like that.
That earlier
so
today.
Practice capitalism, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
We need you to buy a lot of biscuits. A lot of biscuits. All right, ToddStearns.com, by the way. Check out our company store and get yourself a copy of the Biscuit Book. 844-747-8868, our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Of the United States.
Well, I hope we do have a young lady at some point become President of the United States. I can tell you how I think it will happen, because it won't happen in the normal course of events. Either the Republican or Democrat political party will nominate a man for president and a woman for vice president. And the woman and man will win. So you'll end up with a president, a male, and a vice president, a female. And in that term of office of the president will die.
All right, that was former President Gerald Ford back in 1989 explaining how America is going to get the first female president. We will see if that turns out to be prophetic or not. But just a little while ago on the Todd Stearns radio program, we had Congressman Ronny Jackson announce that he is sending a letter to the White House calling for the president to undergo a cognitive test. I want to go now to the Liberty University newsmaker line. Honored to have with us Congressman Mo Brooks from Alabama. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
My pleasure.
So I want to get your reaction. I don't know if you heard that from Gerald Ford. So far, I mean, it's pretty bizarre to hear him speaking about events in 1989. And, of course, now we have a male president, female vice president. And as Congressman Jackson said in the last hour, something clearly is not right medically with Joe Biden.
Well, I don't have access to Joe Biden's records. Certainly I can see that his mental acumen is not what it was a decade ago. He has lost some cognitive ability. I do not believe he's to the point where he needs to resign because of that diminished capacity. It is worrisome as to where he'll be a year or two from now, but it wouldn't at all surprise part of a Democratic Party strategy if Joe Biden were to resign sometime in late 2023, Kamala Harris take over at that point. And that way, Joe Biden would be the one who is tagged with all of the results of all the bad policies that occurred during the first 3 years of his administration, somewhat giving Kamala Harris a clean slate with which to work. Now, whether that is in fact the Democratic Party strategy going into the 2024 elections, I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Boy, it sure will. But very disturbing, his behavior overseas on that first international trip. And I'm not quite sure that I'm just not sure about all of this, Congressman. I have grave concerns about this administration.
Well, you should. It's been one of the most damaging first 4 months of any president in the United States history. Think about what he's done. He's made us more dependent on foreign oil from the Middle East, a very difficult to defend supply line, as opposed to having oil from Canada via a pipeline to our oil refineries in Texas and Louisiana, stripping us of energy security is extraordinarily unwise and risky. Then you have what's going on at the southern border, where you have over 2,000 dead Americans on average each year at the hands of illegal aliens, coupled with another 30-plus thousand dead each year from overdoses on deadly narcotics smuggled across our poor southern border. And this administration, instead of trying to protect American lives, he's putting them at greater risk by welcoming even more illegal aliens and making it easier for the cartels to smuggle even more deadly narcotics into America. It's basically a betrayal of our country, and it's putting American lives at risk. On average, about 100 Americans are dead each day just from those two things, both associated with a porous southern border. Now, that is huge, and I wish the mainstream news media would pay closer attention to that kind of federal crime data and drug overdose data.
Yeah, they're just not going to do it. They're going to turn a blind eye to it. Meanwhile, there's a new survey out, Congressman, from The Economist, YouGov poll on critical race theory. 58% of Americans have an unfavorable view of critical race theory. Only 38% view CRT favorably. This does seem to be the debate of the country right now.
For the moment, and by way of background, let me emphasize one thing. As the news media tries to do gotcha questions with our elected officials, there are many different definitions and understanding of what critical race theory is. Granted, they're all similar, but there also are definitional differences. So do your best to figure out what the true definition is and go with it. But as far as I can see, critical race theory is a Marxist and racist theory, which, if taught, tends to divide America into two different classes, the oppressed and the oppressors, with the definition of which category you're in being defined by your skin pigmentation. And that, in effect, divides us by race. It worsens race relations instead of helping us become colorblind, where we don't pay attention to someone's skin pigmentation, whether we pay attention to their character and their conduct, things over which people have control.
You know, I think it's really surprised a lot of people, Congressman, that so many younger Americans are embracing this ideology, which they are learning in their public school classrooms. And, you know, again, there has to be an effort to address this at the local level first, as opposed to waiting, you know, till it gets to Washington, D.C. and Congress's front door.
Well, I would hope so. And to the extent it's taught in K through 12, it ought to be handled by city, county, and state educational units rather than the United States Congress. But we'll see how it plays out.
All right. Congressman Mo Brooks, ladies and gentlemen, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. As always, we appreciate you coming on the program.
My pleasure. Have a blessed day.
All right. Good man right there. And there's a lot going on here, folks, a lot going on with critical race theory. This was the big debate at the Southern Baptist Convention meeting earlier this week in Nashville. And Southern Baptist Convention leaders, by the way, the Southern Baptist now controlled by woke liberal Baptist, and they refused to condemn critical race theory by name. You know what gets me about this, and I don't want to go down this this rabbit hole, but just briefly, there's been so much outrage and anger directed at the Southern Baptist Convention. How come you don't have more people of color in leadership positions? Are you people racist? You're overwhelmingly white. Well, we are the nation's largest non-Catholic denomination. A lot of white people are members of the Southern Baptist Convention, but there are a lot of blacks that are members, and Hispanics, and Asian Americans, and many other language groups are members of the Southern Baptist Convention. It is, in my estimation, one of the most diverse religious denominations out there. But everybody likes to attack the Southern Baptist Convention because of one word. No, it's not Baptist. No, grace us on it. No, it's not convention, Avery. No, it's Southern. Southern is the word that triggers people when it comes to the Southern Baptist Convention. So you have all of these woke Baptist leaders, and they have embraced Black Lives Matter. They have embraced these radical groups that are out there. And now they're actually declaring war on anyone who stands in their way. There was a tweet that went out a little while ago from some wackadoodle moron wokes pastor out of Middle Tennessee saying that they're going to be rebuking everybody. Well, you know what, Grace? We're going to give that preacher my telephone number here at the radio station. And so if he wants to rebuke me, he can do it on air.
There you go.
844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868.
Front of the line, baby.
That's right. But I believe it is a lie from the pit of H-E double hockey sticks. That's what I think critical race theory is. And I say H-E double hockey sticks because, Grace, I understand we got a call in the break.
Oh, yeah. Someone called and they asked if there was basically dirty language in your new book. And
Wait. Dirty language,
yes,
in our daily biscuit, a devotion,
yeah,
book?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
he asked if there was any dirty language. I said, well, no, sir. And he goes, well, Todd likes to, you know, give it out on air some. And I was just like, really?
Do I really curse that much on the radio program?
Not to me.
Do I use foul language?
Only when it emphasizes a point or you're quoting someone.
Now, Avery is our junior theologian in training. We have an official chaplain, of course, Dr. Jeffress. Avery, you just got a battlefield promotion. We don't say too many terribly offensive things on the show, do we?
No. Definitely not.
We're good. I mean, every now and again, I might let a little word slip.
And then you get, you know, put on another prayer list.
I get put on the prayer list.
Yes.
As the unspoken.
Unspoken. Yes.
Does that happen in your church a lot? I have an unspoken.
Oh, yeah.
That used to happen.
Has happened in so many Bible studies I've been in. Yeah.
That happened when I was a lot younger, when I was in, you know, Sunday school for like eight, when I was eight or something like that.
Oh, that still happens. Maybe it's a woman.
Do you love the unspokens where they say, I have an unspoken, and then they basically tell you what the issue is, and you can figure out who they're talking about.
Exactly, because it'll normally be someone in the church, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to say their name, but they tell you all the details, and you're like,
I know who that
Judy.
Is.
Or it'll be like an unspoken, and they look directly at you.
Oh,
I knew her. I knew her egg casserole looked funny.
Judy. It's always Judy, isn't it? It's always Judy.
Her sausage casserole.
Judy.
Gotta watch them.
All right, we're going to go to break here. And we're going to, guys, I'm going to tell you that we're about to talk about a very un-Baptist topic.
Oh, great. Okay. Right after talking about the foul language. Yeah.
This is the headline from theblaze.com. Victoria's Secret is...
That's not Baptist.
...is ditching...
Man, Avery was quick, like, yeah, I can dig this topic.
I'm just pointing out the facts.
Victoria's Secret ditches supermodel angels and replaces them with women famous for their achievements. So every year they do this, Victoria's Secret TV show, right?
Fashion show.
The fashion show. Yes. That's not fashion, that's lingerie.
It's a form of fashion.
And it's barely lingerie.
Barely there.
But anyway, Victoria's Secret, they have some very lovely ladies patrolling going up and down
the
runway there, the catwalk. And I guarantee you most of those ladies are conservative. And I say that because only beautiful women are conservative.
Oh man.
I'm just going to say it. Conservative women are the most beautiful women on the planet.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but...
So anyway, Victoria's Secret says, well, we don't want that anymore. We don't want to go for the beauty angle. That's, you know, that's the thing. You know, they and they did this with the pageants, you know, the beauty pageants.
Oh, I remember, yes.
What do you call them now? Scholarship programs or something?
I still call them a beauty pageant.
Yeah, they're not allowed to wear the bathing suits.
Oh yeah, they took out the bathing suit category or whatever.
They dress up like school marms.
School marms.
Yeah, teacher, you know, school marms.
Okay, I've never heard that.
With the rulers.
I've never heard that before.
Google it, kids.
Okay.
Different generation. Yep.
So the New York Times says that Victoria's Secret is going to be including women it's going to be comprised of women famous for their achievements and not their proportions.
I mean, I think there's a healthy balance there. But it is a fashion show with models who are generally using their looks as well as technique. So,
well...
Yeah, and when... In my personal opinion, from what I have noticed, when women are shopping for clothing, they're not necessarily looking for clothing that's like, oh yeah, this was worn by someone extremely accomplished. If they see a model who looks good in it,
they're going to probably.
It's twisting my words. John.
It's like Melania Trump, you know.
Yeah.
All the women in America wanted to look like Melania and dress like Melania.
True.
Well, their spokes babe now for Victoria's Secret is going to be Megan Rapinoe. She is the radical leftist woman who is a member of the U.S. soccer team, the one who took a knee
for
soccer. And I believe she is, we'll do some research on her in the break, but there's some other things about Rapinoe. But she is basically the poster child now of the Victoria's Secret. That's their new image of fashion model, if you will. They're also going to have a 17-year-old Chinese-American freestyle skier, a size 14 model, and an inclusivity advocate. What does that mean?
Body positivity? That can go a lot of different routes.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. So the inclusivity advocate is also the size 14 model.
Oh.
Paloma Elsesor. Also, one of the Jonas Brothers, one of their wives is going to be on this.
Well, their wives are very beautiful.
And also a Brazilian trans model. So they're going to have a dude in a dress.
Oh.
Brazilian trans model, Valentino Sampaio.
Well, there goes their ratings.
Are you going to watch this, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. Just put on some pajamas, please. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
So, Grace, I'm very curious, how is Merlo the Dalmatian doing with the new MyPillow doggy bed?
Oh, she loves it. Oh, yeah, it's super fluffy, but it's firm enough. It's nice, not very good size for her. Nice pattern, paw prints on it.
She's sleeping?
Oh, yeah, like a baby.
So she hits the MyPillow doggy bed and does not wake up.
Yep, come back from doggy class and she goes right to the
bed. That's it. I love it. Well, we want to thank Mike Lindell. He heard about Grace's brand new puppy dog. Grace is a new puppy mom. And Mike sent Grace a beautiful MyPillow doggy bed.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
And we would love for you to get one of those as well, along with lots of other great things that they have here. Mike Lindell, a longtime sponsor of the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and they're offering some great deals just for our listeners. So not just the doggy bed, but you can also get the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, which are unbelievable, so comfortable, the MyPillow mattress topper, and, of course, the MyPillow towel sets and the MyPillows as well. As a matter of fact, Mike, just for the Todd Starnes Show listeners, is going to knock off $40 off their queen-size premium pillow. So normally, what is it, $70? You're going to get it for $30. That's a pretty awesome deal, and you're only going to find it through our show. And by the way, every single one of Mike's products, they come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go right now to MyPillow.com. You'll see the radio listener square and just pop in my promo code, which is my last name, Starnes, and you're going to get those great deep discounts. You can also give them a call, 800-839-8506, and you could use the promo code Starnes. And when you get the MyPillow, or maybe you've already ordered your MyPillow stuff, drop us a note on the Facebook page and say, hey, Todd, got MyPillow, and let us know what you think about it. I mean, it is really revolutionizing sleep in America. So again, MyPillow.com, Radio Listeners Square, use the promo code Starnes. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here coming up for the news, ToddStarnes.com. Don't forget to head over there. Get yourself signed up for the free newsletter and the free podcast. You got to go back and listen to that interview we did with Dr. Jackson. Unbelievable. And we're going to be posting his letter a little bit later on as well. Hour 3 coming up next. We'll be right back.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right, folks. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, it was a good day, a bad day up at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruling unanimously that the LGBT activists cannot shut down Christian foster agencies like the Catholics have in Philadelphia. There was a big Supreme Court case, and the Supreme Court siding with the Catholic foster agencies' right to exclude gay couples from the program. So the city of Philadelphia came in, and they said, fine, we're just not going to allow Catholics to run these foster agencies. We're going to exclude them. The Supreme Court says, hey, you can't do that. This is a religious organization. They've got a right to follow the teachings of their faith. You may not agree with the teachings of their faith. Fine, go to another foster agency. Seems very clear to me. And then, of course, the Supreme Court again siding with Barack Hussein Obama on Obamacare, which was a difficult decision. But we will see how that progresses and the next case that comes up. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good to have with us from the eastern part of Tennessee, Congressman Chuck Fleischman. Congressman, good to have you back with us.
Todd, great to be with you, sir. I'm actually with you from the Atlanta airport, just landed, and always a pleasure to be on your great show.
You know, Congressman, speaking of airports, there in Chattanooga, we had Senator Bill Hagerty on yesterday talking about these flights in the dark of night, Joe Biden dumping illegal aliens into your congressional district, even though Governor Bill Lee said, no, Mr. President, we can't handle those illegals. Your reaction?
Well, this is just a small part of a larger fiasco created by the Biden administration. Abject failure after abject failure, the migrant children crisis, and it is a crisis not only in Chattanooga, but across the country. It's a humanitarian crisis for those coming. Biden has done everything wrong on border security from day one. He canceled the Mexico policy where people would stay in Mexico until they could either come or be kept out of the United States. The migrant situation is horrible. We are seeing record numbers, Todd. In 21 years, we have never seen the influx of people coming across the border. So Hagerty is right on this. Marcia is right on this. It's just a disgrace.
What are you hearing from your constituents when they hear this news that now they are going to have to take care of these illegal alien kids?
Well, sheer and utter outrage across really, really call after call. And it gets even worse. Right now, there is actually a nonprofit that is caring for these children in Chattanooga. That is a rarity. But there's laws on the books, unfortunately, that say when these migrants are dumped into communities all across the United States, the American taxpayer, the local taxpayer, has to pay to educate them. And it's just a problem across the board. And we think of those who are being apprehended. What about those adults and others who are not being apprehended? The border is porous. It has just, again, been an abject failure, and they're not doing anything about it. The Biden administration, if I had to pick a term, is flippant about it, while the rest of the country sits here in moral and utter outrage.
You know, you speak about the border security issue. Of course, the other one is the president himself and his meetings with Vladimir Putin yesterday. Congressman Ronnie Jackson was just on the program in the first hour saying he is sending a letter to the White House calling for the president to undergo a cognitive test. A lot of people are very concerned about the president's capabilities based on what we saw over the past couple of days. What about you?
Well, I think the Biden administration from the inception has been one where the president has literally been handled by those of his friends and minions who are decidedly to the left of him. We saw that in domestic policy from the inception. We have seen this now in foreign policy, where, unfortunately, President Biden criticized President Trump. You just don't do that in front of world leaders. You may have differences of opinion. That was rather unprecedented, I think, and wrong on Biden's part. But clearly, I think the world leaders saw an American president with an American foreign policy that was going to be acquiescing to the European Union and cannot and will not stand up to Putin and Putin's Russia. So I'm concerned, but that's where members of Congress need to stand up in the House and Senate. And the American people need to stand up and say, look, we need what Donald Trump had, an American foreign policy based on American goals, not globalist goals.
Well said. All right, Congressman, we are going to have to leave it there. Safe travels. Are you heading back to Chattanooga or off to Washington?
I am heading back to the greatest mid-sized city in America, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we'll be back in D.C. next week voting and working hard on the Appropriations Committee. So always look forward to hearing from you, sir, and I thank you for your great show.
Well, absolutely, and I've taken that flight many a time, so be sure to grab a Diet Coke before you get on board. It's only a 25-minute flight. They don't serve beverages. So,
yes, sir. You are so right.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Congressman, all right, safe travels, and thank you as always. That's Congressman Chuck Fleischman from out in East Tennessee. You folks listening to us on Nuga Radio know all about Congressman Fleischman. Grace Baker, turn your microphone on. And
yes,
I know,
sir.
Avery has just posted a story that you sent me. I have never laughed so hard in my life.
Oh, no. Which one?
So the headline is Belly Fat, Reason 1001 Why Democrats Should Not Use Zoom.
Yeah, oh, that story.
So the best part about this is not the congressman's belly fat.
No.
It's Congressman Kat Kamick's reaction.
Yes.
As
we
it happens.
We just had her on the other day, and I was like, oh, my God.
We got to get her back on just to talk about this. Just to talk about this.
Oh, it just made me. At first, I was like, what am I watching? Then I went back and I was like, oh, okay. Okay.
So we really can't. This is really a TV story, you've got to be able to see this. Do we know what congressman that is, Captain America? Do we know?
No, because normally when someone is speaking, their
it's
little
New Jersey.
Name pops up.
He's a New Jersey guy. You can see from the plaques in the bedroom.
Yes, but I don't know his exact name. I really just saw that. I was like, I got to send this to Todd.
Is it safe to call him obese? Is that appropriate?
Yeah, he's definitely overweight.
Yeah, so he's
wearing overweight.
He's wearing a Captain America T-shirt.
That's
which,
too small.
That is way too small. And so he gets up during the Zoom meeting with other Congress people. And when he does, he exposes his belly fat.
Yep.
And it's not just a quick flash.
Nope.
This is a...
it lingers.
It lingers. And it almost looks like... Okay, don't quote me, but doesn't it kind of look like he's wearing boxers or like cotton shorts or something? Like
the belly fat lingers.
It doesn't look like he's wearing dress pants.
All right, we're going to do the play-by-play. So the lawmakers are talking, and he's in the Ann B. Davis spot. For those of you knowing the Brady Bunch... oh, you know what he is? He's wearing boxer shorts or undies.
I knew it.
Those are his underwear. And he's clearly, you can see the
bed. The stripes.
And you can see the bed. It's an unmade bed that he's sitting on. This is a congressman.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is horrible.
Terrible.
Just rolled out of bed.
Literally.
Rolled out of bed. All right, here we go. He gets up and.
I forgot about it.
There you go. And, wow, we're a few seconds away from very inappropriate video. But then Congressman Kat Kamick, who is underneath the guy in the Brady Bunch grid, she would be, now who is it? Ann B. Davis Alice is in the middle square, and it's Florence Henderson.
Yeah.
So Kat Kamick is in the Florence Henderson spot, and folks, all I can tell you is you have to go and watch her expression. It is priceless.
Yes.
It is hilarious.
You've got to.
This is brilliant.
Just trust us.
All right. We got to take a break here. Folks, if you're going to do a Zoom, wear pants. Please, for the sake of America, wear pants. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, I want to give a shout-out to our good friend and great listener out in Lancaster, California, Sydney Reyes. Sydney, a friend of mine over at Lancaster Baptist Church there in the Antelope Valley, beautiful area, right near Edwards Air Force Base. Sydney says, hey, Todd, please give a shout-out to all my fellow U.S. Navy Hospital Corpsmen retired and active duty, celebrating our 123rd birthday. Well, happy birthday, and we appreciate the incredible work you guys are doing there. All of you Navy Hospital Corpsmen, God bless you. Thank you for your service. And unlike President Obama, we got it right. We didn't say corpsmen. So remember that? Yeah, that was a very unfortunate thing. So happy birthday to the U.S. Navy Hospital Corpsmen celebrating 123 years. Hope you guys have a great big celebration today. Lots of delicious cake with the sparkly punch. I love that. Made with the sherbet stuff, that's always delicious. Have you ever had that, Grace Baker?
You mean punch with sherbet in it?
Yeah, remember? Yeah, you put the, it's like the ginger ale or the Sprite, yeah. And then you have that big chunk of green ice cream that nobody else. That's the only reason you get that ice cream.
True. That's the only reason.
You
just eat it. You don't just say, I'm just really craving
slurp
that.
It.
Turns into like a slushy kind.
Did I ever tell you, I never have been a big drinker. And so it's just, that's just me. No personal, I just don't drink.
Baptist martinis.
I drink water and I drink Baptist martinis.
That's good.
And iced tea. But, I was invited years ago. I was invited to, back in the day, I used to be somewhat musical and I was asked to sing at a Christmas Eve service at an Episcopalian church.
What?
Mm-hmm. I was a youngster.
You sing?
I was about 19, 20 years old.
I need audio proof.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this.
I don't know if they had video cameras.
I will caveat this story. Hold on. This is a great story. So put a pen there for a second. So I did. I used to I briefly considered a music major, but then I realized I need to earn a living. So I got a call one day from the church, and they said, hey, so-and-so has died. And they asked if you would, well, before they died, they asked if you would sing at the funeral.
Whoa.
And I'd never done that before. I'd never been to a funeral at that point in my life. So I go, and the way they have it, the person singing and the organist are hidden behind this lattice sort of thing, you know, with flowers. So you really don't see them. You can hear it, but you can't see. Because the focus
is... Where are those voices coming from?
Right, well, they're angels. But the focus is on the casket there, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'd never done this before, and I was... You know, it's a bit of a daunting thing, especially if you're at a funeral.
Well,
so very somber. And so the lady, the organist, I guess she was in her 70s or 80s. She was a bit of a heavyset woman. Kind of looked like Aunt Bea on the Andy Griffith Show.
Oh.
And she had, I'll never forget this, she had a big old Baptist martini on the organ bench, and she was swigging that thing. And so I did my thing, guys. I got up there, and I sang whatever song they asked me to sing.
Sure.
And I sit back down, and she never misses a beat. She's playing that organ, and she leans over. She says, son, you got some good pipes, you know. And I'm like, well, thank you. Again, we're in the middle of a funeral. She goes, you know, there's a lot of money to be made in this.
Oh, my gosh.
Singing, she says, I said, and what? She goes, singing for dead people.
Whoa.
Honest to goodness.
Wow.
I said, all right. Well. So anyway, I'm at this Episcopal church. It was Christmas Eve. And again, I think this may have been right about the same time. And I was thirsty. I was very thirsty. And so the vicar took me downstairs, and they had this beautiful display set up for afterwards.
Sure.
And I saw the punch, you know, the ginger ale with the big thing, the big blob of green ice cream.
Yeah.
Church ladies know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
So I had a 7-Eleven Big Gulp. That thing, it's like, you know, you can fit 2 gallons of soda in that thing.
Sure.
So I thought, you know what, I'm really thirsty, and I want to keep coming down the stairs, so I'll just get the Big Gulp. And take it back upstairs with me.
Sure.
So about 10 minutes before the service, I just felt very flush. This is like about 30 minutes. And I had been downstairs because I was really thirsty, so I had 2 big gulps of the sherbet punch.
Okay.
And I told the pastor, he said, is everything okay? Because you look like you're sweating a little bit, and you look, are you okay? And I said, I don't know. I said, I feel like I'm maybe getting sick or something. I feel just warm and fuzzy on the inside. That's the only way I could describe it. And so the pastor looks down and he sees the big gulp, which this was like, I guess, 1.5 gallons of it.
Oh my
and
God.
He says, how much of that have you had to drink? And I said, well, this is my 2nd big gulp. He says, good Lord, man, you're drunk. You're drunk.
I said,
what are you talking about? He says, we're Episcopalians. I said, yeah, but I said, it's just punch. He goes, yes, it's spiked punch. And
oh,
I said,
Lord.
What are you doing drinking in the church house? He goes, we're Episcopalians.
Yeah, he told
That's
you that.
That's what we do. What's wrong with you?
Oh, my word.
So he turns to the organ and says, get this man some coffee.
So didn't notice the taste of the alcohol?
No, it had a kind of an aftertaste,
sure.
Kind of a kick to it.
But I'm sure all the sugar masked it.
Yes,
it can probably do that. And then you got the ice cream texture.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's understandable.
So the first and only time I got drunk was in Episcopalian church.
There you go.
What's the old saying? Wherever there are two or more Episcopalians, there's a fifth.
Oh.
But he brought me downstairs and he says, let me show you something. So he brings me downstairs to the, the fellowship hall. And there was a wet bar down there. And they had all sorts of stuff.
Oh my goodness. They know how to party, apparently. I've never been to an Episcopalian church.
I'm thinking, man, they have one heck of a communion service down there.
Oh, I bet it gets lit.
Hit me again, preacher.
I need to take communion again.
Don't be stingy with the communion wine. We just use the grape juice, and we use the off brand. We don't even use the real Welch's.
Do you have it like in the little prepackaged?
I don't like that.
It's like a droplet, so you have those really dry crackers, and you're like, and then you wash it down with the little bit of grape juice.
That's always unpleasant.
Yeah, it's like the styrofoam stuff.
I know it's not the point. It's just an observation.
I will say this. I went to communion at a Baptist church in Franklin Avenue. It's a large Black Baptist church in New Orleans. A good friend of mine is the pastor there, Fred Luter. And I like how they do communion. They passed out, instead of like communion wafers, they had garlic oyster crackers.
Oh, that's nice.
And they put the grape juice in a Dixie cup, so you got a nice big swig.
Oh, got to wash that garlic down.
But they have deacons, and the deacons are pretty strict there. So if you try to take more than one garlic oyster cracker, they're going to look at you.
Look at you.
Well, and then you put it back. It's like, you better put that back.
Back during COVID, when everything first started coming out, and like churches, or at least my church, we did services at home. We did like a at-home communion with a Ritz cracker and a bottle of water between me and my family.
I like Ritz crackers. All right, hang tight, folks. I got what are we even talking about? Hang tight. We'll be back. This is the Todd Stern Show. I could use some garlic oyster crackers. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I got to tell you, crime is off the charts. All of these progressive cities, they want to defund the police. Well, guess what? Now you get what you ask for. Crime is out of control, including in places like Atlanta, Georgia, and the affluent suburbs. And look, these criminals are not stupid. They know where the money is, and they are preying on these innocent victims in places like Buckhead. We had the opportunity to watch an interview on Fox News Channel with Bill White, who is chairman and CEO of a group that is fighting to secede from Atlanta and the Atlanta city limits. Bill White on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Bill, great to have you with us today.
Listen to the show. You do great work. So thank you for having us on today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. And Bill, first of all, I want you to explain to our listeners, if you could describe the area of Buckhead, because this is a beautiful area. Whenever I'm in Atlanta, I typically stay in one of the hotels there. This is a great part of the city.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it is. And we love our community. It actually runs, and if folks are not from Atlanta, it'd be hard to explain, but it runs basically between Sandy Springs and downtown Atlanta. They call it Midtown, but it's a nuance. And it goes from DeKalb County all the way over to Cobb County. So it looks like a chevron, like Ohio, if you're looking at a map. So that's kind of the shape of it. And there's about 80 to 85,000 legally registered voters within the map that we've drawn for Buckhead City, which will hopefully get itself on the ballot for November of 2022. We have two bills in the Georgia legislature. one in the Assembly, one in the Senate, to take up cityhood. It would be a vote up or down by those voters. And what we say is it's very unfortunate. You know, the great people of Buckhead who have contributed so much to the fabric of this great city feel exploited. And it's been going on for way too long. The crime is out of control. We have a murder rate in Buckhead. It's unbelievable, Todd. It is 133% up from 2019 per the APD, Atlanta Police Department. And shootings are up 164% in that same period. Literally, you cannot go to get gas here. I don't, without a pistol in my pocket. And I mean that sincerely. It's not a cliche. My sister-in-law, she will not go to get gas. She sends her husband, and he has to schedule, you know, 20 minutes a day to go take her car to get her gas. And then he has to go do his car, and it's insanity. So we filed for divorce. We're not, you know, fans of divorce. I'm a marriage guy. You know, you stick with it till the end. You fight as much as you can, but you come to an arrangement. But in a civil sense, we have irreconcilable differences. The police are not being allowed to do their job. And they're great policemen, Todd. They want to do their job.
Oh, sure.
They want to stop this crime. And they don't respect the police here. They don't love the police. They don't back the blue. They villainize police. And we want to celebrate police and put the smackdown on this crime. By the way, a police truck is driving by right now. I'm sorry about that.
Literally. now, Bill, it's our understanding that the police are literally handcuffed. So if there's, you know, people are shooting or something and they're in a car, they're not allowed to even give chase. Is that right?
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that. I like your phrase, Todd. You're always thinking that the handcuffs are on the wrong people. The handcuffs need to come off the police and go on these emboldened criminals who believe they can come to our community and wreak havoc. You know, there was a shooting that you're referring to, January 3rd, Far Road. The attempted murders were firing on people, bullets going through trucks, hitting people on the street. And a law enforcement executive had literally taken this video that was on Tucker Carlson that we used. And it showed two police cars sitting there. And by policy, the mayor of Atlanta has told them they can't chase that car because she's afraid of them hitting the sidewalk or something and having a lawsuit against the city. So, you know, have you heard anything as silly and crazy as that? So, you know, people say, why can't we just work out our differences with whoever the new mayor of Atlanta is going to be? You know, because Keisha Bottoms is quitting, right? She knows she can't run because the crime is rampant and she's been a failure. I don't knock her as a human being. She's a child of God. I wish her well, but her job as mayor has not been great for us. So we say the new mayor of Atlanta, we're not waiting around for that. He or she could be just as bad, if not worse. So we're taking things into our own hands. And I think that'll be an example, Todd, for the country, that you can take your city back from these crazy policies that do nothing for your life and safety and your livelihood and get back to normal. Take control of your destiny.
You see, Bill, this is what I love about this story, is that you guys are not just out there complaining about it. You've come up with a solution to the problem. And you're right. I do hope that other communities around the nation that are dealing with this will follow suit. We broadcast our program from Memphis, Tennessee, and I'll be honest with you, Bill, a lot of people actually drive out to the suburbs to get gas because they're afraid of getting carjacked. I mean, that's the same situation. And, you know, here in our city, the Progressive City Council will not even allow the police department to have a full complement of officers. I think they're down 700 in Memphis. So we certainly understand and we are very sympathetic with the plight of the good people of Buckhead.
Well, Todd, I appreciate you saying that. It makes me so sad to hear that. You know, imagine you're a hardworking family, you're a mom, two kids, three kids, whatever it is, and you have to feel like that way. I mean, simply to get gas, it sounds like a, you know, something you should just normally be able to do very easily. But if I could refer your amazing listeners to our website. It's BEC, Buckhead Exploratory Committee, now. And I say that now because this is a sense of urgency. And we'd love to get feedback from the great people of Memphis who listen to your show. Questions, comments, we'll even take snide remarks. You know, we'll listen to anybody who's got something to say to us because we're learning from all these great comments of folks who want to make their cities better, trying to do that with ours. And we'll keep you posted. It's going to be a really revolutionary moment when that ballot initiative hits the fan, so to speak, the proverbial fan.
And what is the process there of actually seceding from the city? Who ultimately makes that decision?
Well, the Georgia legislature is going to decide after they review our feasibility study, which is underway. We already know Buckhead will be feasible, but the legislature has to hear that from an independent operation, and they're going to get that probably in about 12 weeks. In January, they take up our two bills. By April, they will vote yes or no. And if it's a yes, then cityhood, up or down, will be on the ballot in November of 2022. And literally that day, if the vote is 50 plus one, to simple majority, Buckhead City is a city. And that's going to be... You want to come to the parade, Todd? We'd love to have you come down.
Oh, I would love to be there. We have so many listeners in the Atlanta area, and this has been
great.
A big deal. We've been getting calls on the crime situation in Atlanta, and I can imagine that would be a terrific celebration. Bill, we would love to get you back on the show as we continue this process here. And I know we're going to post a link to your website on our live show blog so our listeners around the country will be able to access that. But, sir, best of luck to you and the good people of Buckhead.
Oh, that's so kind of you, Todd. Thank you so much, and God bless you and the great work you're doing, and keep up fighting the fight for us. We appreciate it.
You're kind to say that. Bill White, ladies and gentlemen, from the Buckhead Exploratory Committee, looking to secede from the city of Atlanta. Citizens there just sick and tired of progressive rule. Sick and tired of the lawlessness. This is an absolutely beautiful area of the city that has been commandeered, overrun by the criminal element, the thugs of Atlanta. And finally, the citizens, they've stood up and they've said, enough is enough. And we'll see how this plays out. And if they are successful, I would not be surprised if other communities do the exact same thing in their major metropolitan areas. 844-747-8868. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on what this man said, because they're not just complaining, they are doing something about it. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Beautiful day here in the Mid-South where we broadcast from border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. And this time of year especially, with all of the beautiful flowers blooming, all that kind of stuff, you guys know I tell you about this all the time, the allergies, and sometimes you can hear it in the voice. Sometimes the baritone sounds that you hear, the docile tones coming into your home through this big, beautiful, huge microphone, a bit scratchy. And that's because of the pollen, but not this year. Thanks to our good friends over at Eden Pure. They have a brand new air purifying system that we've been using now for quite some time. And I love this thing. It has absolutely transformed springtime in the Starnes home. It's called the Thunderstorm Air Purifier, and it completely eliminates all the molecules, all those evil little left-wing things that are lurching about in the air, causing your conservative host to sniffle and sneeze, watery eyes. It eliminates all of that stuff. So I want you to get one of these. I've tried it out. It works. And so you need one, especially if you suffer from allergies. And also, if maybe you have a little odor in the house that just won't go away, you know, like the fish, you know, sometimes when you fry the fish and the odor lingers, yeah, the Thunderstorm Air Purifier will even take care of those peculiar smells. So I want you to go right now to EdenPureDeals.com. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code word Todd at checkout. That's T-O-D-D. And you're going to get some nice discounts, and you're also going to get free shipping. But you got to use my promo code, which is T-O-D-D, EdenPureDeals.com. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Interesting story out of the Daily Wire. NBC News is also reporting this information. A scientist that signed on to a letter backing a probe into the possibility that the China virus pandemic originated from the Wuhan lab admitted in an interview this week that she and other scientists did not come forward sooner to back this possibility because they did not want to be associated with President Trump. So let's understand this. A scientist knew that there was a very strong possibility that the pandemic had been created by the lab in the Wuhan province, and they sat on that information. While the mainstream media was out there, while the Democrats were out there attacking anyone who dared advance that narrative, they did so because they didn't want to be associated with Donald Trump. In other words, the scientist, ladies and gentlemen, the scientist played politics with our lives. Now, you do wonder how many lives might have been saved had the scientist actually come forward. The scientist was one of 18 who published a letter in the journal Science last month calling for a more in-depth investigation into the virus's origin that takes into account theories about both natural occurrence and laboratory spillovers. The letter helped kickstart a new round of calls to investigate the lab leak hypothesis, including demands from President Biden and several leading scientists. Going back to something, we were talking about this in the early days of the pandemic, that the scientists were so determined. They wanted to shut down any narrative that brought into question their own narrative. But now we know they knew this all along. We now know they decided, they made the decision not based on science but on politics to cover all of this up. And that is a problem. The report goes on to say there had been trepidation among some scientists about publicly discussing the lab leak hypothesis for fear their words could be misconstrued or used to support racist rhetoric about how the China virus emerged. Trump-fueled accusations, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, a research lab in the city where the first China virus cases were reported, was connected to the outbreak. So, in the name of wokeness, in the name of political correctness, these scientists were willing to sacrifice human lives. They knew there was a possibility. They knew the evidence was pointing in that direction, but they said nothing because to say something would be to validate what President Trump was saying. And I think this goes all the way back to an argument we made a while back on this program that ultimately the China virus was weaponized to take down Donald Trump. That maybe, just maybe, the reason why they decided to categorize every death in America that was remotely connected to the China virus as the China virus was to take out this president. And that's why the death counts, that's why the infection counts were grossly, grossly inflated. And now the truth is coming out. I'm not sure the truth is going to matter all that much, but the truth is coming out. People should be held accountable, but they will not. So if a random group of scientists, very well-respected scientists, were willing to sit on this information and not say anything to punish, to hurt Donald Trump, what is the possibility? What are the odds that Dr. Anthony Fauci did the exact same thing? What are the odds of that happening? I'm telling you, folks, there's got to be an investigation into all of this. Also from Breitbart, crocodile meat has tested positive for the China virus in Hong Kong. A package of crocodile meat from Thailand sold in a Hong Kong supermarket tested positive. That's according to Radio Television Hong Kong. They say they confirmed the meat's packaging tested positive for the China virus on June 15th. The package contained frozen crocodile spare ribs from Thailand. A 17-year-old girl purchased the meat package from the Hong Kong supermarket. The teenage girl tested positive for the China virus earlier this month, and that prompted the health officials to search her home, and they found the remains of the crocodile ribs. Now, many of you are going to be concerned about this, and no doubt there will probably be a bit of consternation, but Grace Baker, fear not. I, Todd Starnes, have no fear of crocodile China virus ribs. And you want to know why, Grace Baker? You want to know why?
Why, Todd?
There's no way in H-E double hockey sticks I would ever eat a crocodile. And I don't care if it tastes like chicken.
Yeah, I think that's a good policy.
There's only one kind of barbecue.
Yes.
Oink, oink, baby.
In Memphis, Tennessee.
Amen. Thus saith the Lord. All right, got to get out of here, folks. Tomorrow, trivia on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Then we are off to Texas. Going to be a lot of fun. We'll tell you about that tomorrow. Get out there. Be good, America.